100 Word Stories.
Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge over at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Been coming to you for 383 weekly challenges. This one's on the topic of just. Who's got the cojones to batter up to this? I don't know. I'm out of metaphors, and I'm out of similes, and I don't just... I'm getting the laundry done, okay? That's what I'm doing. This is what I do while I'm doing the laundry on Sundays. So, forget all the hype, forget all the BS. Let's just hear some stories, man. First one, Jeffrey. He's got something for us. Jeffrey, tell us a story.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here with a couple of stories for this week's weekly challenge on the topic of just. Before I get started, I just wanted to mention, with respect to having dog crap there in the laundry room, I will say that one of the benefits of home ownership is that you don't have to deal with people who put dog crap in your laundry room. I'll concede that. There's certainly a lot of problems with home ownership, though. But it's not as dog crap free as you might expect. I have a neighbor, don't know quite which one it is, but I have a neighbor who walks a dog and believes in picking up the dog's business, putting it in a Ziploc bag. But then after that, he or she thinks that his work is done. And so the next trash can he finds, the dog crap goes in the trash can. So periodically I come home and I find, on trash day, I find a little present in there. And I'm thinking, what kind of a moron believes that it's socially acceptable to have somebody else take your dog's crap into your garage for several days before the next trash pickup? So, dog crap's a problem wherever you are, I guess. Anyway, on with the stories. My first story is called Circus Act. Inspector, over here! I wandered through the circus's administration center toward the direction of the forensic specialist's voice. This is just bizarre. I studied the blood spatter. The void it left suggested a killer of just around 4 feet tall. Just a minute. Give me some time to think. To my right was a sign for the midget's dressing room. The door to my left led to the child care center. We need to wrap this case soon, sir, said my sergeant, handing me a set of latex gloves. A group of female gymnasts are visiting today, and they're already waiting at the gate. Well, they'll have to wait a little longer. This case is just baffling. I have no idea where we could find a suspect who fits that description. My second story is called Business 101. The factory was a model of just-in-time delivery. Orders came in from the customer, and the company's purchasing agents set out to obtain parts to be delivered just as needed during the assembly process. Suppliers, even those as far away as Asia, worked with the company to assure a seamless process. This worked well for years. Then one day the phone rang for a new order. The factory couldn't get commitments for delivery of essential parts. The customer was furious. The company president had to call to explain the situation. General, I'm very sorry. In retrospect, it just wasn't a good idea to have no parts inventory for our missiles, especially for key components from our Asian supplier. In fairness, though, sir, how was I supposed to know your boss planned on declaring war on China?
Thank you, Jeffrey. You know, I think we need vigilantes. And we need laws that allow these vigilantes to operate, where they can go around and, hey, are you being an asshole? Putting dog crap in somebody's trash can so that they have to drag it back into the garage. And then they whomp them with an aluminum baseball bat. That's all. Very simple. We would get the global population down from over 7 billion to, 2, 3 tops? I think that's a noble effort. The UN ought to get right on that. And then start beating each other with baseball bats. I mean, they're the biggest fuckers. What was I talking about? What? Oh, I was mentioning that Tom is next. Okay, sure. Well, I thought I got all the anger out of the basement last week. Damn. Oh, well, here's Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 12. Normally, Timmy would not have indulged in the premium amenities, but his new status of prophet seems to have come with an ample amount of perks. Just for starters, his suit and shoes were run through a separate unit. Then there was the unmetered Mark 7 with ungulating shower heads. And finally, a service that defied any level of justification, the Micronite body scrubbers, often credited with causing spontaneous pre-puberty. Over the nano roar, Timmy heard Sparky cry out. Dashing to the lobby, Timmy was confronted with six men wearing silver colanders. "We've come for justice," railed the Pastafarites.
You know, I keep coming back here for justice, too. Thank you, Tom. Whew, man, I'm glad we didn't do updates this week because stats took a dive. I'm telling you, when the host goes nuts, oh yeah, right there in the toilet. This isn't like radio, folks. Oh no, you gotta suck up to them to bring more people in. Oh no, you can't go nuts. Do whatever I want. I'm sure that there's another billion hundred word stories podcast out there. Drabblecast and this other one. The one that has the teacher with the kids and the, we're gonna make happy stories. Yeah, that's not me. And I don't think that's you people. Although some of you do happy ones. We try to weed them out. Speaking of happy, how about the return of Explorer? Otherwise known as Ellen. She's got one here. Ooh, this one's going to be good. So, sit back, relax, open your hearts and minds.
On Wednesday, July 24th, I wrote a piece called Just. Just has multiple facets. It has to do with the books of Proverbs from my Jewish upbringing and my religious studies, which I still concentrate on. Just also has to do with we as poets and or writers, how we express ourselves through our writing, or how we just use words. With that said, let me go ahead and read to you Just. Blog entry, Just, by Helen R. Starr. Just defines wisdom and understanding of life and the depth of the human soul. Just defines how we humans interact with one another and how easily we can be torn apart by words of another. Just breathe and concentrate on centering the emotions of the heart. I hope you find the words to help you look beyond the twisted knots and help you find your inner peace. Just breathe. Just breathe, angel desires, absent valued. Chasing fears, trust spilled tears, whispers inside, shining, knotted moonbeams. Just breathe. Cherished dreams, hope rising. Just be yourself, folks, and be well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, if only I could be well. Oh, it has been a week. Still got the eye goop. A little bit of a cough here and there. And the spirit Oh, you don't want to stick the dipstick into that. Thank you, Explorer. We'll see how next week turns out. I've got Friday off. You know, after having a 3-day week, okay, I worked from home, but really. But, man. Yeah, let's see how next week turns out. How about we head over to Richard? He'll bring things up. Put a smile on our faces. Put a smile on our butts if we have to. Walk around backwards. Richard, let's brighten the day.
Good morning. I hope your Sunday's going really well. And Lawrence, I hope you're feeling somewhat better and that the laundry isn't quite as traumatic as last week. Three stories for you. This one's called Just for Once. As the truck rumbled on into the night, George slumped into a corner, ruminating on his bad fortune. The accident had been bad enough. All he could remember were snatches of that fateful journey. The car spinning crazily, the sickening crunch of metal, then the emergency room and anxious doctors. Then nothing. Nothing until he awoke in a silent, empty hospital to this crazy nightmare. Why did these things always happen to him? He agonized. Staring into the darkness, he wished, just for once, just once, why couldn't things go right for him? Or was that just asking too much? Here's story number two. It's called Rough Justice. Morgan the Just had a reputation for being a harsh but fair king. He ruled with a rod of iron, and nations bowed to his reasoning. At his hands, the kingdom prospered, and his passion for justice brought him respect from far and wide. But not from everyone. His wife was a nightmare. And no matter how hard he tried, she was impossible to please. Far worse, she always had things her way. Often, Morgan would muse about his misfortune. Oh, the irony of it. Respected by millions and derided beyond reason by just one. Where's the justice in that? And my third and final story this week is called Just One More. Just one more. And he'd have done it. The world domino toppling record would be his, and those who had doubted him would finally have to eat their words. He savoured his moment of triumph. It felt good. Selecting a 666 with care, he kissed it, and prepared to stake his claim in domino toppling history. The sneeze was the type that catches you completely unprepared. No gradual wind-up and false start, but a sudden violent explosion of involuntary sound and motion. The domino flew from his hand with inevitable consequences. And it only needed just one more. That's my stories for this week. Speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. The laundry currently is not as traumatic as last week. I just got it started. Just two loads, although I should probably do the bed sheets and all that. Maybe I'll do that a little later. You know, when I know that I'm not going back to bed. But it's going to be all right. Gina's coming back today from a week helping out her sister, and it's been a short week, and think I'm going to get over this thing. Check into a cemetery if this crap keeps going on. Everything else going fine, I think. Although, Miss barfed. You know, it's like, hey, stop batting at the blinds. Picked her up, put her on the floor. He's like, oh, I'm going to spite you. Yeah, great. So I just fed them, too. So they're having a... They're reloading. Hello, Teeny. Oh, yeah, I just did the litter boxes. So what do? Yeah, thanks. I got your tail. I got your tail. That's what you come here for, right? Not the stories. No, the stuff in between. You sick people. Speaking of sick people, how about a little Muncie? He just sent in a last minute... Oh, yeah. He sent the Grace one again. Here's his story on Just. Captain Action.
Greetings, Captain Action. To your last week as Captain Action. Oh, your life will still be an action-filled spectacle, but you're being promoted. So congratulations. Starting next week, you'll be Major Action, which is a step up in the action stakes. And kindly try not to notice how it sounds like a porn title. Story time! Just, by Christopher Monroe. Remember that Radiohead song with the guy laying in the street? A crowd gathered and asked why, and when he told them, they collapsed, paralyzed by the revelation. You know the one. I can't tell you how many times I watched it, trying to figure out what he says at the end. Hundreds, easily. I saw it again the other day, for the first time in years. I think I've finally figured out what he said. I'll tell you if you like. Just not now. For now, I just want to lay here. Just for a minute. Just to recover.
Broken Escalator, Twitter, and a Flash Fiction blog. That's where you can find me. Until next week, Captain Soon-to-be Major, I bid you adieu. Adieu to you, and adieu to my old-timey radio announcer voice.
It is a porn title. Maybe I ought to change the topic for next week to hardcore porn. No, that's more of a Christmas kind of thing. Thank you, Muncie. Oh, is it that time? All right. Folks, have you got your popcorn popped? No, because it's Sunday morning. We don't eat popcorn on Sunday mornings. We eat sausage and pancakes and waffles. Shut up and eat your popcorn. It's time for Sing.
The Lakshmi Plot, Part 2, by Chris Mooney Singh. The high winds also brought a cyclonic thunderhead of conflicting thermals. They smashed the low-lying Delta Peninsula just like a fist cracking the bony fingers of a hand. Walls of water surged over flimsy embankments and flooded inland, uprooting and washing away the thatched mud huts, roads and settlements. Hundreds of thousands of acres of rice and jute disappeared under the sudden sheet of inrushing ocean. Families woke in chaos, and many were immediately swept away to oblivion. Others more lucky had a small window of opportunity to pack carts and flee with whatever meager belongings they could carry. Bimbudevika clutching their baby girl onto the cart. Then, while helping his mother up, she dropped her brass pot packed with rice grains. It tumbled away into the rising water. Hey! Mira screamed. Bim reached down and retrieved it. Sadly, all of the precious rice had now dispersed in the flood water. Nothing could be done. Cello, he said, let's go. Setting off, he soon offered Narayani Mata a ride, but their old widowed neighbor refused to abandon her bony cow. Having seen floods and ruined crops, she knew she would starve without milk anyway, and resigned to her fate. The road to Sitapur was clogged with fleeing families. Bhim Das beat the bullock's rump until the cart could progress no more. He freed the beast, dragging his family toward the old, dilapidated flood shelter. It was a two-story concrete building on four plinths with stairs, balconies, and a flat roof. This was a vote-catching initiative from an old, past government. There were too few scattered along the coastline. This stationary ark was already overcrowded. Beam and his family fought through huddled shapes and managed to climb, push and squeeze past complaints to find a corner on the roof. The four took shelter under a tarpaulin of stitched-together fertilizer bags previously used to cut and wrap roadside grass. Beam thus had salvaged it from the cart. Now it became a tent with squatting heads and shoulders for poles. They huddled together for warmth and tried to sleep through the storm. Palm trees had snapped like toothpicks, sea water was encroaching, goats, cows, and buffaloes were in distress. Slow moaning and bleating scraped along human nerves as they floundered to find any foothold in the deluge, eventually going under one by one. Meena Devi clung onto her bronze Lakshmi and prayed. The cyclone shelter had doubled as a school with rotten foundations and whitewashed walls needing repair. After bureaucratic kickbacks, foreign aid's cannibalized funds could only build with porous cement. 2,000 were now packed onto three floors meant for 800, each with just 1 meter to squat in, including the pregnant and the elderly. Emergency store rations had long ago turned a profit on the black market through Devendra Ghosh, the government official in charge. There was no cooking fuel, the latrines had never worked, and survivors were only a fraction of the displaced, or those floating face down like logs. Bhim's family made it through the gale-force night praying to Lakshmi. Meera collected runoff from the fertilizer bag tent in the cooking pot, and they took careful sips. Going to the toilet the next day was a whole other problem with 800 exposed on the roof. They squatted in turn above a rusty bucket, petrol tin or some plastic motor oil containers with the tops cut off passed on until brimming with faeces, then dumped over the side into the floodwaters. Rain continued to pelt down with ferocity, pinning Beam and family underneath their makeshift synthetic tarpaulin. The shelter was so far holding out, but concrete steps and supporting plinths were being consumed by rising tide. As long as the storm surged, those on the roof could exist on sips of collectible rainwater, but others locked together on the lower levels could barely move, each in their meager meter of shitting space. Many were dehydrating badly, some with respiratory problems due to cloying suffocation. By the second day, the cyclone shelter had drawn first blood. Two newborn infants and an old man wheezing away life on his daughter-in-law's lap. Death's bad news spread fast. Meera Devi still felt guilty having earlier let the rice pot slip from her grasp climbing onto the cart. And now there were only three onions left knotted in her shawl. Onions suppressed thirst, although not for long. So she propped Lakshmi up against a new crack in the concrete wall. Without offerings, she could only close her eyes and wave an imaginary ghee lamp on a tray, She visualized garlands, burning incense, piles of mangoes, and mentally poured unhusked rice over her deity's feet like an endless showering of gold coins. "Please, take me, but save my family," she bargained with her goddess. Meanwhile, Devika, feeling her milk drying up from dehydration and anxiety, couldn't satisfy her suckling infant, who bit harder for nourishment. The young woman's strength was dissipating, and it worried her. A mother is a milk tap. How long could her baby last? Mother Mira understood, stopping her sips for Devika's and Priya's sake. Beamdust felt helpless too. His waterlogged fields would soon rot. As Bapuji said, a farmer is only a lord at harvest time. He couldn't feed his family on air like some non-eating yogi. The shelter hadn't saved a soul and was forcing them to befriend death. Around midnight, 180 km/h winds and a fresh wave of storm surge began to rock the overcrowded building. The foundations were cracking. Then one of the four supporting concrete plinths snapped and the corner opposite Beam's family collapsed. The only thing left to do was to leap off the edge behind them. Mira Devi had already made her pact with Lakshmi. "Go," she said to Beam. "Take them! Ma! Just go!" The roof tipped, sliding away human cargo off its deck like a boat and passengers going down. He waited until the last, grabbed his baby and wife, and then jumped. Tune in next week for another installment of The Lakshmi Plot by Chris Mooney Singh.
Four parts, people. This thing's in four parts. An epic series of 100-word stories. Where else are you going to find that? It's amazing how it just takes the narrative arc, but each individual vignette stands on its own. Maybe we ought to do that one day. A weekly challenge of, okay, not just one story, 10 stories, stand alone, but have a narrative arc. And no Iron Man. Maybe one week we'll just do no Iron Man. That's the topic. What do you think? I've got topics lined up for a while here. Let me see if the... Oh, there's the mouse. All right. I'm doing the dual monitor thing again. I'm over in the Batcave. Let's see. Weekly challenge topic. Okay, let's look. We've got accident coming up. Underwear. Silliness. Nanobots. Focus and deception. So, wait. Deception? Hold on. I thought I had another one in there. Let me look. The topic of... Let me do a search. No. This is strange. I thought I recorded one last night. Yeah. And then Edge. Let's see. Oh, I didn't specify weekly challenge topic on the category. All right, hold on. Fixing that. And then we've also got River. And that one I didn't set the category correctly for. So those are lined up. So if you're keeping score at home, accident, underwear, silliness, nanobots, Focus, Deception, River, and Edge. If you think they suck, let me know. We'll change one out.
That Nanobots one is stupid. I think it ought to be puppies.
Okay. Sure. And if you want to change them to something like, this one ought to be in rhyme. Okay. We can put that in too. We can make the challenges as wacky as we want. This is our weekly challenge. It's not just mine. Although there are times when, okay, yeah, it's mine. Really. How are you doing? Right. Maybe I should, you know, play another story. Lizzie, have you waited long enough? I'm sorry for the wait. I just get in my moods.
After the police showed up, there was nothing else that could be done. They found a whole room filled with photos covering the walls all the way up to the ceiling. The first time she spotted him, he was standing in his veranda holding binoculars. What a perv, she thought. Months of multiple complaints followed. All got lost in a torrent of paperwork. His last words were, I was just... He kept a diary, the police found out later. He was in love. Fatally in love. Her destiny also had a fatal twist to it. She was convicted to life. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcop.blogspot.com. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. shows you that I'm not fully recovered yet. Got to clear the pipes. Although, maybe I should contaminate my pipes. Work on my Tom Waits voice. Nah. Still got a little while to go before the laundry is ready. Hey, that clock is a little behind. Might as well get this one a little pokey there. There you go. Now it's up to date. It's my Mississippi clock. I'd bring it to work, but it's tick, 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 tick. Okay, let's see. Where are the cats? Okay, there's one. And there's the other. They were hanging out with me last night on the sofa as I was watching Nip Tuck. I was just so out of it. But thank goodness for aspirin. That's all it took, really. All this other crap I've been drinking. Massive headache, this and that. One aspirin. Boom. Barely felt anything. It's amazing how that works. Of course, when you need aspirin to do that kind of stuff, you know, your broken arm or whatever, oh, that ain't gonna help. What will help? This story from Cliff. This'll cure all your ills.
History calls him Matthias the Just. You may ask how one gets a description of the Just. After all, he frequently beat his own sons for minor infractions. He once locked his wife out of the house for a night because she had let his soup get cold. Matthias was a swindler, an adulterer, and quite possibly a murderer. So why did the history books call him Matthias the Just? Because in that village, only Matthias could read and write, and he wrote the history book. However, he couldn't record who was wielding the meat cleaver that ended his life. And here's my second story on the topic of just. I believe we should strike the word just from our vocabulary. Everything is important. Just a wife and mother? Do you know what goes into running a proper household? What about the phrase, it's just a cold? That's how we lost Jim Henson. Everything and everyone is important. Maybe not to you, but to someone. Write someone off as just another person, and you may miss out on a job opportunity, a new friend, or even a lover. No one is just anything. Everyone is important and special. Well, except for David Lee Roth. He really is just a gigolo.
I love those sick and twisted twists. Oh, they make my day. Thank you, Cliff. You know what it will really make my day? If Tura comes up with a real out-of-the-park home run, or whatever they call it in rounders or cricket or caber tossing up there. What do they call an out-of-the-park home run with caber tossing? I mean, it's not like you're going to toss the caber out of the park. You do that, you're the Hulk, you know? That's just wild. Although you could probably set up a cannon that fires those things. I would believe that person is called the don't mess with that person. Don't mess with Tura. They've got a story for you.
General Wei issued a decree that all trade take place at the just price. Charging more is extortion. Charging less is competition. Offering more is bribery. Offering less is oppression. Free trade is conspiracy against the realm, for all belongs to the emperor who orders men's estates. He instituted the Committee of Justers to decide the just price of everything and the just punishments for illegal trade. Oppressors and competitors would be stretched on the rack by the same proportion as their prices fell short, and bribers and extortionists were sent to be precisely shortened by the executioner's saw.
Ah, shortening by saw. Sweet. That's what we'd like. We've shortened this podcast by saw, or by me ranting up a crazy rant, and then folks, you know, leaving. Oh, thank you, Tura. No, I think we've got it down. Anything longer than an hour, it's like, really? Am I rambling that much? I don't know. Oh, well. What I can do to help is just shut up and say, hey, how about Danny? Let's hear his story. Oh, this one's going to curl your toes. And if you have a dog, well, how many toes does a dog have? Well, all their toes are going to be curled, too. It's going to be just...
Hello, hello, Danny Dwyer here with yet another weekly challenge. This one, 383, just. Another article in this morning's newspaper calling for change to Florida's self-defense laws in the wake of the Trayvon Martin case. Once again, a reinvention of the facts to fit a scenario of racism different than the evidence presented at trial. If the media used the actual facts, it would be hard to define pulling a gun while flat on your back having your head pounded into the ground an act of racism. Or should we call the woman from New Jersey pummeled in her home by a black assailant in front of her 3-year-old child a racist? Is that just?
Nope. Give them all baseball bats. Let them go after assholes. See? My law works. Sorry. Thank you, Danny. We'll probably get the population down to 1 billion at this point. Man. Get rid of all of Florida. Sorry. Is the microphone on? Oh, hi. What? Oh, we got more? Okay. Still got more stories. Justin didn't bother recording his. He was busy with something or this or that. All you gotta do is pick up your phone and just read. You know, there. If you got a Droid, an Android, whatever, or you can just call me and say, hey, record this. You know, if you leave a message with me, I can download that. I think I can. The iPhone can do anything. When the 7 comes, it can do a lot less. So, right, I should probably read the... No? Oh, I've got the robot to do it. Yeah, by the way, don't depend on the robot to be doing the... Whatever. These should be read in your voices to catch your nuances, your inflections, your accents, your souls, so that years from now, when people say, you know, that famous author, Justin, Yeah, we got recordings of him. You know, before we took him off to the gulag. I should probably go get a cough drop. Okay, while I go get a cough drop, here's Justin.
When the day started out, I had a hangover, and the submarine I was in sank, and New York was in ruins. On the bright side, after washing up after some strange ship took pot shots at us, I met a man. He said I was the only hope he had, then he gave me a spiffy nano suit. Powered combat armor. It allowed me to jump higher, run faster, all that jazz. There was just one little thing the man who gave it to me neglected to tell me. A whole army would be out to kill me. Thanks, buddy.
You see, that has no soul. In my quest to cram more and more stories into this podcast, to beg, borrow, and steal everyone into it, even recording for people, or having the robot record for people when I didn't give a damn, it just comes off cold. Oh, the laundry timer. Well, thank you, Justin, for writing. What I'll probably do in the future is just put the text of the story up, but I'm not going to record it. I'm not going to try to match the mastery that you have over your own words. Even if I can't read, or I'm really a man, but I don't want people to know it. Still, you can express these better than I can. So, at some point, I mean, we'll have ourselves a grace period of September. I'll remind you, and then October, just the text will go up. So, how's that? If you have any thoughts on that, put them in the comments. If there are people, oh, I'm going to volunteer to read for, well, good. But you coordinate that. I'm not getting involved in that. I'm not going to be the one that says, oh, Red, I'll take your story over to Bonchon's for you. Sure. No, not happening. I got enough to do. You know, I don't even have kids. And I feel like, well, I'm lazy, so. Okay. I should probably play Zach Man's story. Came in right on the wire. He even tweeted me about it. So let's lift the wire and bring in Zach Man.
Justice Justin Johnson jets to Jamaica in January just for Jamaican jerk, said Jake. John asked, just what do you think you are doing? I was trying to make an alliteration. Do you think Jamaica has jeepneys? Would it be unjust to go poetic license just to have the right sound? Jake, just maybe I am jaded, but I think Justice Johnson should have revoked your poetic license long ago. Jake started again. Justice Justin Johnson, ja, ja, ja. The cat got your tongue? I've never seen someone tongue-twisted before. Now that is an example of poetic justice, if I've ever seen one.
Thank you, Zach Man. Notice how he didn't put jugs in there. Telling you, we need to do an all-porn week. We'll work on that. Thank you, Zach Man. Or is it Jack Man? What I do know is that... All I have is one more. This is going to come in under 50 minutes. I really drove people away. All those of you who are gone, thank you for having participated all this time. Now I know what your breaking point is. I will work on the others until it's just me and Zach Man chugging along, and Tom providing the occasional updates. How about some Planet Z?
Billy had never beaten Ted at Words with Friends. He was 100 points down, tiles were running out, and he had nowhere to go. His phone beeped, and he looked. The triple word was open on the left side. His car hit a bump, and his rack shuffled. It spelled, just, wait, hold on, justice. Billy looked at the board. It fit perfectly. Not only would it hit the triple, but the J would be on a triple letter, too. That's when he ran the red light, and the truck slammed him from the left. Ted remained unbeaten.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of Just, the inspiration of Just, the seed of Just, the leaping off point of Just, whatever you want to call it. Some people even ignored the word Just and just went on with their lives. I want to thank everyone for being a part of this. Whether you've been a part of it in the past, the present, the future, other realities, someone else hosting, and me writing stories for it. It doesn't matter. The whole universe. I love you all. And I especially love those of you who have already started shopping for baseball bats in anticipation of the great culling of humanity. But until then, I'm telling you, the next topic is accident. Look, right up there. Right up there on the site. It says so. Accident. At least I think it is. Hold on. Double check. Sometimes I make mistakes. And accident. That's what it is. So start writing on the topic of accident. I know you have it in you. Give it a try. Don't be a wimp. I love most of you. The rest, I can fake it. I'll see y'all next week. Till then, thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.